In this segment of our WCDO Canoe Regatta interviews, I have the pleasure of speaking with Dick Davies, who's been involved with this event for 45 years, known as the regatta historian. I tell you, Dick smiled when I said 45 years. You probably can't believe how fast time has flown by.
That's for sure.
How did you get involved in this event and why?
The first year of the relay race, my friend said, let's get a relay team. You've been in a canoe, right? And I said, no, but I'm a quick learner. And I was hooked. I raced the first year, went from Unadilla to Sydney. Absolutely loved it. And one more year racing the relays, I decided I'd like to help the committee out and went down and volunteered in Bainbridge, and they took me in.
Well, they're very lucky they took you in because you've been a great friend to this event, and an incredible amount of work has been put into this event by you and so many others. The 50th anniversary, it's got to have special meaning for you.
To see the growth, to see the things that have happened, the Unadilla and the Susquehanna rivers were really polluted way back then. It's amazing with all the canoes that have been on it over the years and so forth, how much nicer the whole river is, and to see the regatta grow. And then, of course, there's the park, a 45-acre park that a canoe race built. It's been 45 years of fun.
And also an event where some guys sat around and said, what if we paddle canoes from Cooperstown to Bainbridge? This will be a fun event and everything else. 50 years later, from that crazy idea, this year we've got people coming from Sweden.
Yeah, it has been beyond belief. Many years ago, I was talking with Charlie Hinckley, and he said, I had no idea this is what would happen. He says, I just wanted to put our chamber on the map. It's just amazing over the years. Someone would come up with an idea, not only Charlie's crazy idea, but there'd be crazy ideas at the meeting. And four or five other people would come up with ideas on how to make it work. It was just it's just wonderful to see how the whole thing transpired.
Why Cooperstown, and who did it first, and they just had to figure it out, right?
Well, Charlie decided Cooperstown because he happened to be up there when he thought of the idea, I think. And, of course, he's a historian himself and knew that's where the Susquehanna started and so on. And so it was his idea from Cooperstown. He came down, got the approval of the Chamber of Commerce, who didn't think it was such a good idea but thought it would be a great idea to go from Oneana. So they approved the first race to go from Oneana to Bainbridge. But Charlie missed the Oneana part of it and went to Cooperstown anyway.
Okay. Oh, that's great.
And Lou Whitney and his brother Chuck Gardner and Lloyd Johnson and his son took trial runs to see if it was even feasible. Charlie took them to Cooperstown. They got in well after dark that night, but just more or less paddled to see what problems there'd be in the river and so forth. And they certainly decided it would be feasible. And they labeled it a 70-mile canoe race. Many years later, with all the modern conveniences, they figured out that the race was actually 70 miles exactly right to General Clinton Park, where it is today.
Really?
And, of course, the first few years, it went all the way to Dix's Flat. Mm-hmm. So it was really a 71-mile race back then, but the last mile's the easiest anyway.
Yeah, well, amazing. That's just amazing. So let's also talk about then you. You talked about the relays, but what about you and the 70?
Well, after racing in the relay, I just decided one year I wanted to see. Everybody back then was, can I do it? And I've never been one to try to go in something to just finish. And so I wanted to try to find a good partner. Sought out Bob Zavril, who was a junior at Unitigo at the time, and he was a wrestler. And I knew wrestlers would train, and he and I trained hard enough, and we won the 70-miler my first attempt, and I'm still undefeated because I never tried it again.
Now, why have you not done it again?
I trained to do it the second year. In the meantime, I'd met this girl from Green, and she took up some of my time, and I didn't train as hard, and I wasn't quite as comfortable with a paddler, so I just decided not to do it that year, and I'd wait a year or two and then do it. And I'm still waiting a year or two.
Well, and you got involved on the other end in such a big way as well. And, you know, when you are involved on the other end for this event, it's almost impossible to both train and participate with the putting the race on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You don't find as many people from Bainbridge finishing the 70-miler, because an awful lot of time they spend working down there, so they haven't paddled that much, where people from Unadilla and Sydney and so forth seem to have really taken a more active paddling part of it.
Well, we're going to blame Gene then for why you've only done it once. And now we're going to jump to the 50th anniversary this year. The committee wanted to do some special things, and you came up with a fabulous idea.
I had an idea that it would be awfully nice to get together. We had a 20th year celebration back in 82, I think it was. Maybe that's 25 years. I can't remember exactly. And we had such a good time at that gathering, and all former 70-mile winners came, and it was just such a good time. I thought, we need to do something along the lines of a fun event. And I just kind of had an idea and pitched it to the chamber about having a float from somewhere short, a nice short paddle or float, and there's really no place before Sydney to get boats lined up to come in. So we decided on Sydney for the fun parade on Saturday.
Who will be in this parade?
Anybody that has a canoe that wants to show up can paddle. You don't have to be a winner. You don't have to be in the 70-miler. You don't even have to have ever entered.
Again, this interview will air after it happened, but you're hoping for, you know, what numbers are you guys looking at?
Well, it is really hard to say. I'd love to see 200 canoes and kayaks both. It's amazing how many people have said, what a great idea. When it all happens, whether they'll be there or not.
We'll follow up with that. Joe and Chris will be asking you on Monday to let them know how everything worked there. Another big event as part of the 50th anniversary, and probably a long time coming, is the General Clinton Canoe Regatta Hall of Fame. And the first group of inductees will have been inducted this past Saturday. And tell us about how that came about.
Probably 5 years ago, someone came through the museum one day and said, why isn't there a Hall of Fame? I said, I guess I don't know, really. I guess someday we may have one. And I think the 50th is just a perfect year to do it. A committee was formed to select different people. We certainly encourage people to nominate different people that would they felt should be inducted, and we went from there. The committee made a decision on 12 people the first year, and had certainly different criteria for being able to get in.
Not just racers.
Absolutely. We patterned it a little bit, I suppose, after the Baseball Hall of Fame, and the fact that they had not only players, but now they have different wings for announcers and umpires and all of that stuff. So it was determined that they would call the contributors part of the Hall of Fame the pit crew.
The pit crew.
That was kind of a good name. You certainly don't have to be a pit crew for any of the racers, but you sure do have to be a pit crew for the regatta, that's for sure.
Why don't you list down the inductees, the first class?
Okay, the first class for the pit crew was Charlie Hinckley. Quite obvious. He was the one that thought the whole thing up. Lou Whitney, who'd done the trial run and has been chairman. Wayne King, who's been entries chairman for years and years. Ed Rowley, chairman three times, was in charge of the putting entries in the paper and all the results in. And Cliff Wade, chairman two times and masterminded the purchase of General Clinton Park acreage.
Speaking of Cliff.
Yeah. Cliff was in Florida, and when he got the word that he had been chosen and was so looking forward to being here, earlier this week, I was told that he had passed away. It was quite a shock, I think, to the people who had been emailing, talking back and forth, and certainly to me. He was just, there wasn't anything that he couldn't seem to, if he set his mind to, he couldn't accomplish. And there were so many like that. But I don't know if General Clinton Park would have ever been purchased if it wasn't for Cliff.
Hmm. And the racers that are in this first class.
Yes, Claude Corbin. He won 8 out of 9 times that he was in a pro race. And the only time he lost, his partner had two broken legs, and so they finished second. Next would be Serge Corbin. I don't know what I can say that hasn't already been said about him. He's, as of today, he's got 28 starts and won them all. He is the greatest paddler that ever lived. That's a known fact.
I've heard about him.
Yeah. next, Ted LaMonica, done it 40 times in 49 years. I mean, he didn't always enter, but utterly amazing. He finished the first race, and he finished the 49th race, and he's entered again this year. Luke Robillard, who was he was kind of the glamour boy of the beginning, won as a senior when he was a senior at Springfield College, and he was a four-time winner. He's in the 700-mile club. He was the first one to really have star power. All of the headlines around Robillard wins again. And when I called him to notify him of his induction, he'd say, "I thought you'd forgotten about me." But he is so happy that and pleased that he was going to be coming.
Great.
The 17-year-old that I asked to paddle with me when he was a junior in high school, Bob Zavril, won the C1 Pro, won the C2 Men's Comp Cruising, won the C2 Pro with Jeff Schultes, and finished 35 times, owns a business that sells canoe paddles all over the world.
Right, related to canoeing in so many ways. And the other thing that I think is neat about Bob, I don't know if it's 1 through 10 or 1 through 15, but he's done it so much over the years that in the pro class, I think he's taken between 1 through, 15. Say, 10 or 1 through 15 every
through
place.
15, yep.
That's kind of a neat yeah. stat.
Next is Peter Heed. He has done it 30-some times and took 1 year off to do a video of the race, one of the best videos that we certainly have and certainly ever has been made about canoeing. He wrote a book, mm-hmm. and he's just a great ambassador, not only for the Clinton, but for all of canoeing. Jan Pavlock from Unadilla, when I called her, she was very surprised, even asked why. Why me? Her and her husband, Tom, did so much for the youth part of the races over the years.
That's right.
They wouldn't have been the Girl Scout without Jan Pavlock. She really, truly took those kids under their wing, and what a responsibility to take young girls on the river. Most people wouldn't do that, but her and her husband did that, and she certainly belongs in our hall.
And Jan was also, wasn't she the first woman 700-mile club member?
Yes, she was.
That is our first class for the Hall of Fame. Dick, thank you so much for everything you've done for this event, and we look forward to talking with you later. Live on the air during our coverage. And for Canoe Regatta 2012, I'm Craig Stevens on WCDO.